morning.
Good morning.
I forgot my microphone this morning, but I think all you can hear me anyway. Bill and I are doing the service together this morning. Bill's going to bring the message this morning and be my assistant. We want to remember in our prayers Pepper, who, to the best of my knowledge, got through every surgery fine, had four bypasses. And Michelle's sister did die, and so we want to pray for Michelle and her family. And, of course, we want to pray for safe travel for Pastor Larry and Sue as they return sometime this week. I don't know what day, but I know they'll be here before next Sunday. That's as much as I know about that.
You hope?
I hope. Well, yeah, okay. You notice we had a little water leak out here. For some reason, that thing went to fooey. We got another deep run and stopped it, but the basement is flooded now. So I'm sure that
the dining room is dry.
The dining room is dry?
Yes.
That's good.
And it hasn't quite crept all the way out of the kitchen yet.
So I'm sure, Scott, well, are you looking for some help?
Need some...
after church today? Pardon?
Probably get people got some shop back to suck up most of the water. I'm not sure I'd get it. I could probably get Catholic clean there this afternoon, but...
We've got the bikers coming in at some point.
Yeah.
I've got several fans at home I can loan if that's needed. And if any of you would like, Amy Holt is 1 o'clock today. And if you'd like to help with the singing, I would appreciate that. Larry said, would you mind? Of course he can't say, no, I do mind. But so anyway, we're doing that. And let me see. Kyle, we appreciate you being here to light the candles this morning. Thank you. And we have some birthdays. Mary McCorkle, June 23, Erling Hoosman, the 20th yesterday. Dennis is the 3rd of July, and Linda Morgan is the 4th of July. So let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God loves you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And you're welcome. And then for anniversaries, Lofgren's, John's, and Manson's. And they must have all decided to not celebrate it here this morning. Well, congratulations to them on another year of marital bliss. Any other announcements need to be made that I haven't? Okay. We'll begin with a few moments of silence and then start worship. Congregation, please stand. Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation.
In Christ we are forgiven.
In
Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, to favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
The Old Testament lesson for this morning comes from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. In the story preceding today's reading, the prophet Elijah flees for his life to the security of God's mountain. There, the Lord reveals to Elijah that there are still other faithful people in Israel and commissions him to anoint new leaders, including his own successor, Elisha. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath, of Abel-Mehalah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphath, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's now read Psalm 16 responsively. It's found in your bulletin. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
All my delight is in the godly that are in my land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
I have boundaries enclosed with pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see in pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading is from the 5th chapter of Galatians. For Paul, the freedom Christ gives is not permission to do whatever we want. It is the invitation to be what we could not be otherwise. The power and the guidance of Christ's Holy Spirit produce a different kind of life, one marked by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Hear now the word of the Lord. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Lord, all the earth, alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name, alleluia, alleluia.
Our Passover lamb is Christ, who banished the angel of death.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Our God made the earth for good, and one day we all will rejoice.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Hallelujah. praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
We sing to the glory of the Lord, who set us free from sin.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
To Christ our heavenly King, give thanks for everything.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He came to show us how to live in the here and now.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He suffered and died for us, and one day he shall return.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to the Lord.
Jesus is unwavering in his commitment to his mission in Jerusalem and will not be swayed by pettiness. In a series of striking cases in point, he calls his disciples to a similar single-mindedness. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. So I feel like 2 weeks in a row here, I also prepared a children's sermon.
Yeah.
And since we are all children of God, Kyle, you want to come up, or are you good sitting with Grandma? Awesome. What?
Where are you going to sit? I'll sit up here with you.
Should we sit here?
We have at least two kids up here.
because Pastor John and I are just big hits anyway. So Jeremiah spent, oh my goodness, I might need help up too, John. Jeremiah spent a week at Sky Ranch. Thank you, congregation, for helping him do that. Goodness. It was a confirmation camp, and he learned a lot. We learned a lot as parents too, didn't we? Like, don't leave his glasses in the car after you drop him off at Sky Ranch. And other things. Lessons learned. And he's at camp, up at Triple J Camp, up by Tensley this weekend as well. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing the sermon today based on the Galatians verse. And I was just inspired about this old camp song that I'm guessing many of you have sung. I have words for us, God. Okay. So we'll see how many of those kids out there know the words to this song. And I'm going to cheat and give Pastor John one too. So this old camp song is called We Are One in the Spirit, also known as You knew it, didn't you? You knew that I was going to go there.
I didn't know which one you were going to present.
You thought, maybe. One in the Spirit, or yes, they'll know we are Christians.
By
our love. A commandment I give you, love your neighbor. Right? So, are we ready? Do you know this song? Then we're going to learn it today. Good? Here we go.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
You guys are awesome. We have the words. Thank you. So, are you familiar, Kyle, with a movie that came out a couple years ago based on a book called A Wrinkle in Time? Has your grandma given you those books yet, Bev? No? A Wrinkle in Time, Madeleine L'Engle is the author, and there's a whole series. You know these books. See, there's a librarian for this. From her second book in this series, which is much lesser known than A Wrinkle in Time, it's called A Wind in the Door, she has this great, simple little quote that we can all learn a little something about love from. And it's just simply this. Love isn't how you feel. It's what you do. Oftentimes, we think about love as an emotion, maybe a passion, right? A feeling. But truly, love that is seen is by what we do each day for one another. That smile when we can tell someone is maybe not having a great day, or that hug to the stranger who walks through the front door. So love isn't how you feel, it's what you do. Yes or no? We are Christians by our love. Thank you. I'm going to give you the whole pile. And after church, you can hand them to whomever you want to hand these to. Deal? Awesome. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Pastor. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon message I'd like to share with you this morning is from our New Testament lesson from Galatians. And together this morning, let us consider just what a Spirit-led life might look like. I'd like to take a risk this morning and step out in faith a little bit. I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable before you, and I hope that you will allow yourself to be vulnerable too, and be vulnerable to yourself. The challenge for us today, each and every day, is a focus, a willingness to let go and let God. A challenging phrase of encouragement I suspect most of us, not all of us, have heard before and have pondered. Let go. And let God. For me, that is certainly easier said than done. Perhaps for you as well. In essence, letting go and letting God is our daily submission to giving the leadership of our lives to Jesus Christ. A life that is led by the Holy Spirit. And this is a huge challenge for me. Because as a sinful human being, I sometimes have this foolish, innate ability to convince myself that I am something that I am not. That I am something more than what I am, a poor, miserable sinner. How about you? Here's my most recent example of me trying to be something that I am not, something more than I am. As most, or probably all of you know, my mom Esther has been living with us for the last 3 years. And we do our best, and by we I mean Denise mostly. We do our best to meet her needs and take good care of her as her dementia advances and her mobility decreases. When we first remodeled our house, which used to be her house, we remodeled it to give her her own little private suite with a bedroom and her own private bathroom. In that bathroom, we had the contractor install a very nice large sink and a large vanity with storage under it and all those good things. So it was beautiful. It looked nice. When Mom was very mobile, this bathroom setup worked really well. Now that oftentimes we have to use a hydraulic lift to gently get her in and out of the bathroom, the larger sink and the vanity seem to always be in the way, making it difficult to maneuver that lift. So I thought, nothing ventured, nothing gained. How hard could it be to take out an old sink and vanity and replace it with a smaller sink with a cute little pedestal? I confidently thought, I can do this on my own. The front row is really laughing at me this morning. Long story short, on my own, it was a frustratingly disastrous do-it-yourself project. I am not mechanically gifted, and that is an understatement. Just ask Denise, or when you see Jeremiah the next time, ask him. He'll tell you. I was trying to be the best do-it-yourselfer possible and save a little money at the same time. Ha, to saving money. I would venture to say that all wannabe do-it-yourselfers like me have fallen victim to the Tim the Tool Man Taylor, remember him? School of Theology from Home Improvement. Tim's motto was, oh, come on, this will be fun, you'll see. In every do-it-yourselfer's life, there is always that one project that we try to tackle that should be left to the professionals. A licensed contractor, a plumber, an electrician. Anyone else been there besides Bill? Maybe. Okay. Just Bill, apparently. Sometimes what we think is a good idea just simply doesn't seem to work out all too well, like that seemingly simple bathroom project. And this is what Paul is writing about in our New Testament lesson from Galatians today. We must trust our lives to the instruction, the counsel, the expertise, and the guidance of the professional, God's Holy Spirit. Life just doesn't seem to go all that well when we try to do it ourselves, on our own, with our own will. Let go and let God. Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. Last Sunday, Pastor Orwig, in his excellent sermon on the third article of the Apostles' Creed, shared Luther's explanation, which emphasized the critical theology of justification by grace through faith alone. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit describes how God comes to us, how faith is born in us, how faith grows in us and sustains us to life everlasting through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Luther affirms that in every instance mentioned, the church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, all of these are gifts from God through the work of the Holy Spirit. That piece of the Trinity that I sometimes overlook. The piece of the Trinity that is here in our hearts this morning. Luther's words are worth hearing again, and I've added a couple additions. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? It means that I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, do it myself. This is not a do-it-yourself project, this thing called faith. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. The Holy Spirit has enlightened me with his gifts. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. In the same way, he, God, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on that last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Sanctification, justification, salvation by grace alone through faith in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we complicate that all the time by trying to do it ourselves? Let's go back to 50 AD for a few minutes. Let's see what was happening to the church in Galatia. Some teachers are instructing the Galatians that they need to practice kind of a do-it-yourself form of salvation, similar to some of those philosophies and New Age ideas that we hear about, read about in today's world. Paul says no very clearly. Remember, you are saved by grace, and that gives the believer freedom. In it, this letter to Galatia, Paul is writing to address some of the very serious problems happening in the church. Not long after Paul left the area, other Jewish Christian teachers arrived and were teaching the Gentiles that they needed to observe the Jewish law as well as have faith in Christ. That the law equally saved them as the gospel. Paul saw that this struck at the very core of our Christian message. The message that salvation is a free gift by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. This instruction by the Jewish Christian teachers made observance of the law just as essential for faith as our crucified Messiah. With that in mind, what do we know about this letter to the Galatians? The Galatians were actually Celtic people who settled in Gaul, France, before they came to Asia Minor. They received the gospel of salvation by faith alone through the testimony and teachings of Paul on his missionary tour through this area. Paul wrote this letter to defend the gospel of grace for salvation rather than justification by law, as these Jewish Christian teachers were proclaiming. Paul defends the idea that we are saved by grace and that salvation by grace gives you and I as believers freedom from the law. The fact that salvation has always been by faith throughout time is evidenced earlier in Galatians in chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed by you, in you. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham, who believed. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all things written in the book of the law. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the one who is righteous will live by faith. But the law does not rest on faith. On the contrary, whoever does the works of the law will live by them. Christ redeemed us from this curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit through faith. As we can see, even back in the day of Abraham, salvation has been by grace through faith, not works of the law. We see Paul use the phrase, live by the Spirit in verse 16 of our text this morning. What does this mean? Live by the Spirit. Paul is saying that by living by the Spirit, the Galatians can not only stop false teaching, but also, by living by the Spirit, they can counteract the strife that occurs or could occur within the church. Paul is emphasizing the Christ-like conduct that characterizes a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Paul is concerned with living in the Spirit as opposed to living in the flesh. We must be clear that this is showing us that if we are living by the Spirit, we are concerned that our spiritual lives are being led by the Holy Spirit. We are letting the professional take control. And this is a deliberate action by us. Those who believe in Christ, we need to constantly check the direction of our lives daily. There's our challenge. Who is leading us? We see in the last part of verse 16, Paul states that when we take this deliberate action, we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. This does not mean that I or you will never fail or that we'll never sin again. It simply means that we will not desire those things contrary to the will of God. The focus is on our desire, our motivation. In verse 17, Paul tells us that we have two opposing forces within us. The Holy Spirit, obviously, is infinitely more powerful. But we also know that left alone to our own desires and our own sinful flesh, we make wrong choices. We make bad decisions. Our do-it-yourself willfulness always falls short of the glory of God. Verses 19 through 21 clearly list the obvious works of the flesh, our wrong choices. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Guilty as charged. Let us keep in mind that if we have been guilty of these sins, all hope is not lost. Paul is not saying that just because I and you have committed these sins, that we are beyond hope. Faith, hope, and love remain and will always reign in our lives as Christians. Paul tells the Galatians and us that to be free from the law, we must be led by the Spirit. Paul is simply saying that if we are led by the Spirit, the natural outgrowth of that leadership in our lives is going to produce the fruits of service to one another. Love your neighbor. Paul is showing us that when we do place our lives under the control of the Holy Spirit, the qualities, the fruits of the Spirit that he describes will naturally flow from our lives. Paul implores us not to be involved in the deeds of the flesh, but to put on the healing power of the fruit of the Spirit. Listen again to verses 22 and 23. See if these words flow more gently into your ears and into your mind and into your heart. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. These types of actions foster the fruit of the Spirit in each one of us here today, not to mention the body of Christ as well. By describing the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, we are told what to avoid and what to embrace. In verse 24 of this lesson, we see the climax of Paul's message. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The word crucified describes the same action taken against Jesus Christ upon the cross. Crucified means literally to extinguish. That's what the world wanted to do to our Messiah. Extinguish him. Bury him in a grave for good. Praise God, they were not successful. Shine, Jesus, shine. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. When we truly follow Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Our hands do the work of Christ, and our feet go to places for those who follow Christ. Give up control. It's hard. Give up control of your life to the Holy Spirit. He was sent to help, guide, and comfort us. He was sent for us to lead us. Verse 25 tells us, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let go. Let God. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the peace of God that passes all of our human understanding guard our hearts and protect our minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shine, Jesus, shine. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Please stand.
Earth and heaven, the Father who to
us. All we need is and provides us. Through all snares and perils leads us. Sees no harm betides us. He cares for us by day and night. All things are governed by His might. And we believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord and Savior. With the Father, equal might, have power and glory forever. Born of Mary, Virgin Mother, by the working of the Spirit, He became our elder brother, the head we might inherit. Was crucified by sinners all, then raised by God to love again. And we in the Holy Ghost believe, grace and comfort give. With the Father and the Son in eternal glory live. Who all Christian people even keep in unity of spirit. Sins are truly forgiven through His dear merit. All flesh shall rise again, and we shall live with God eternally.
Let us pray. And after each petition, I'll say, loving Christ, and please respond, help us share the faith. Heavenly Father, give us a sense of hospitality to those who do not know that You are the only God. When they call upon You and You hear them in heaven, bring them to know that they are welcomed in this place where Your name is known and spoken aloud. Loving Christ, help us share the faith. When false gods are worshipped around us, remind us, Holy Spirit, never to turn our backs upon the only God who is God. Loving God,
help us share the faith.
Love is more than a feeling. It is an action. It is what we do. Lord, enable us to love each other more and more. Loving Christ,
help us share the faith.
Let go and let God. Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead and change our lives. We can't live our lives by ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit. Loving Christ,
help us share the faith.
Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming to us. We thank You that we are saved by grace through faith and not through the law. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear prayer.
Lord, we always think we can do it by ourselves, but we are reminded today that we must have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Come, Holy Spirit, into our lives and the lives of our congregation. Loving Christ,
help us share the faith.
Lord Jesus, even as You revealed the gospel to Paul, so reveal to us the never-ending love of God for the whole world. Loving Christ,
help us share the faith.
Holy Spirit, increase our faith by the reading of the Word, the hearing of the gospel, and the deliberate recollection of all the times You walked and talked with us. Loving Christ,
help us share our faith.
Lord Jesus, You have authority over death and disease, so we bring before You the names of those whom we commit to Your care today. Remember today Pepper, and we thank You for safely getting him through surgery. Be with him in recuperation. We think today also of Michelle's sister,
and the struggle that has been in her dying, and the difficulty it is for the family at this time. And we ask that your spirit be present with all of them as they go through their grieving process. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll give safe travel to Pastor Larry and Sue. We look forward to seeing them again, having them in our midst, and hearing from Pastor Larry. Loving Christ,
help us share our faith.
Listening God, hear our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
It is truly right and proper
places to give our thanks to you, Lord. Holy Father Almighty, ever-living God, therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory, glory be to you, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Father, you are holy indeed. All your actions show your mercy and love. You made us in your image, and you set us over your creation. Even when we had fallen under the spirit of sin, or the spell of sin, you did not abandon us, but offered a covenant of blessing for all people. You rescued your chosen people Israel as a sign of the great deliverance to come. You sent prophets to prepare the way. And when the time had come, you sent your Son, born of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. In word and wonder, he proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. For us he was lifted up on the cross that we might know the power of his resurrection and that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for him. He promised his Holy Spirit to those who believe and to comfort and guide us and make us children of you, his Father. Father, through him and in his name we ask you, fill us with his Holy Spirit so that until he comes again, we may remember him as he commanded us. At supper in the night which was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to you, he broke and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the meal was ended, he took a cup of wine, and after the giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, take this, all of you, and drink this. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all people, so that sins might be forgiven. Do this for the remembrance of me, for I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God. Continue the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. On earth as it is in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Forever and ever, hallowed.
share the body of Christ. When we drink this cup, we share the blood of Christ. Lamb of God, you may be seated.
I don't know how to do it. The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
Okay? The body of Christ given for you, Kai. The blood of Christ given and shed for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ given for you, Kai.
Now may the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, strength preserve us unto life everlasting. His grace be with us. Go in his peace. Amen.
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 Have your peace.
Lord,
as you said, we have heard it. Just as you lived, we have felt it. Lord, we have your peace.
Sustain us in your peace, O Lord, as we go to our separate world.
Keep this peace with us as we try to love in our troubled world.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.